I've chosen my favorite verse to teach on today, especially this verse in the New International Version. It's the only time I refer to the International Version. It's 1 John 3:1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. There are numerous verses about the love of God for us. We, though, need to know His love is unfailing and immeasurable. What you need to know about me is that before in my life, I lived under a condemning God. Since I would never measure up to His standard, I ran from God straight into the arms of Satan. But He, God, later, when I read this verse in the NIV, my understanding of God changed quite a bit. The word lavish in this verse means so much more than just to give. The dictionary defines lavish as characterized by or produced with extravagance and profusion. And profusion means abundance, unrestrained expense, profuse outpouring in quantity or quality. To me, this word lavish is the key to the abundance of His love He pours onto us. This love is so massive that it fills us up to overflowing like a flood flows the riverbanks. He gives us so much love that this love transforms us. We eventually have no choice but to love others because of Him lavishing so much love onto us. And when you're open, His love actually consumes us. And when you're open to this love of His, then His love just overflows from you. We all know many of the verses that says God loves us. But do we really live in His love? John 3:16, Romans 5:8, 1 John 4:8, and I could go on, but the whole book is full of His love for us. But all these verses do not answer the question, do we live in His love? Do we live in Christ? These two questions are essentially the same. If you live in Messiah, then you live in His love. We've heard that most of us know to invite Jesus into our hearts and live in us. But Paul only said this 5 times in all the letters he wrote. Paul said to live in Christ, to live in the Lord, to live in Him 164 different times. Do you think that there is a message in this thought? I do. We are to live in Messiah as well as live for Him. And living in Him is living in His love. And we all know that we are to love one another. But what does all that mean? How is this life in Jesus to be lived? God tells us to walk worthy of the calling, Ephesians 4:1. And we are to come to Him as a little child comes to his or her daddy. We are His children. Do we come to Him as His child? God taught me about His love by asking me if I loved my sons every time I asked Him, how could He love me? After all, the sins I committed when I was His enemy. In the verse I've chosen to talk about, there are 2 points. I see that there is the love the Lord lavishes upon us, and the fact that we are the children of God. To me, these 2 points are intertwined. Does anyone know of any child who doesn't love his or her parent? Sometimes parents are unhappy with his or her child, but deep down, he or she still loves that child. This is one of the relationships we are to have with God. He, God, says this very thing in John 1:12. But as many as received Him, to them He, God, gave the power to become children of God to those who believe in His name. This is a choice to become His child. So in 1 John 3:1, we are to note two scenarios: the love God lavishes upon us, and our status with God, that we are His loved children. In today's world, the word love in English is tossed around lightly. People use this word loosely, which weakens the true meaning of the word. In other languages, there are different variations of the word love and outright different words altogether to convey the type of love being expressed. For instance, I speak Hungarian. In Hungarian, there is a special conjugation for the verb to love that is used only between husbands and wives. When they say szeretlek, they are talking to their significant other person. And that's the only time that word is used. For the word szeret means love. Many of us know there are four main words for love in Greek: agape, unconditional or sacrificial love; philia, love between best friends, sometimes referenced as brotherly love; storge, this is family love, the love between brothers and sisters and family; and then eros, this is passion, romance, but better known to us as erotic love. God agapes us. Love, God's love, is sacrificial for us. Our goal as followers of Messiah is to have this kind of love for each other. But most of the time, we have philia love or storge love for each other. But in agape love, we are to carry each other's burdens. Galatians 6:2. That doesn't mean blanket forgiveness to others for hurts inflicted onto us. But it does mean we are not to harbor those hurts and let them fester. No, we are to humbly go to the person in love and reconcile those hurts and then forgive those hurts. But this is a detour, slight detour from the main point. Back to the point. Do you all know that the love of God is the most transforming truth there is? Dwight L. Moody said this: I am living proof of this transforming power. Some of you know my testimony that I was in the drug world, and we know nothing good ever comes from the drug world. You know, so basically I was an enemy of God, but He took my sin and saved me through His agape love. Now His love is changing me, transforming me, and I welcome this transformation. I pray for these changes to make me a reflection of Him. Are you being changed by God's love? This question goes hand in hand with: are you living in God's love? Most people do not like change. Most people fight change. But Christians claim they want God to be in their lives. But do they realize that they are really asking God to change him or her? Do we know that we're being changed by God? People go through five stages before they change. It's called the village of Dabda. The D stands for denial. A is for anger. B is for bargaining. D is for depression. And the last A is for acceptance. If you don't believe me, then evaluate how you react when the alarm goes off in the morning. The denial: no, that's not my alarm. Can't be my alarm. It's too early. Anger: fine, I don't want to get up, but I'll get up. Bargaining: this one I like. Basically, 5 more minutes. Give me 5 more minutes and hit the snooze button. And then depression: okay, I'll get up. And then finally acceptance. It's like, all right, time to get up. Everyone goes through these five steps when it comes to change of any kind. Sometimes you skip around the village of Dabda. You may start at bargaining, then go to anger, then depression. Sometimes these emotions set the tone for the mood for the day. But everyone visits this village whenever change comes. With God, I welcome his changes. I pray for those changes, and I thank God for those changes. And I am no better than anyone else. But once upon a time, I read a book called Lord Falsbane by Stephen R. Donaldson. It was a double trilogy, so there are six books. In the book of fiction, there were giants. And these giants had two philosophies. Granite, the rock or stone, was permanence at rest. And then the ocean, constantly moving, was permanence in motion. In other words, constant change. The universe is constant change. And how many waves per day are there on any particular coast? No two waves are the same. The waves here are not the same waves that wash upon the coast of France or Italy. And that is in just one day. How many days in the approximately 6,500 years of the life of the earth? The philosophy caused me to reconsider my thinking about change in my life. Then this thinking caused me to think about the changes God makes in my life, which is now his life. If I take seriously that I live in him and that I'm being sanctified, then I need to accept his changes in me. And part of this change is to study his word. Study him. This is the way to live in him. And when you live in him and when you study him, you live in his love, his immeasurable and unfailing love. Upon you, the love he lavishes upon you, you live for him and you live in him. And then I ask, if you want to accept Jesus as your Savior and to live in Messiah's love, then ask him into your heart. Understand that he will come into your life. He will guide you to live an abundant and content life in him. Ask him to live in you and follow him by living for him. And let us pray. Father, we are grateful for the Sabbath when we get to gather together and worship you. We pray thanks that your Holy Spirit, you Holy Spirit, are in our hearts, guiding our lives. We pray for refreshing today, for this coming week, and for your continued presence in our lives, that you sustain us and guide us in all that we do this week. Thank you for all that you have done and continue to do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. And now we